happy. I'm so happy to see y'all and just so thankful. Everybody can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, I have to tell you, it's just a treat to see your faces and to think of all the Lord's doing everywhere. And even in our little town, you're just going to love this. Just, oh my gosh. Our little prayer group, you think about diversity in Washington, D.C. I am in a town where we have the women that come to our Bible study, some are ranchers, some are city girls that have moved here from New York or New Jersey or Minnesota or Michigan, and they have these beautiful houses. And then we have country girls who've lived here their whole life. And so we, our posse is cowgirls, city girls, country girls, all are welcome. But our Thursday morning prayer group so reminds me of our Georgetown ladies, because when I would come and speak, Betsy and Heather and Janet and others would come down and pray over me. And it was just so sweet, the diversity of prayers and voices and accents. Well, our prayer group here, you're going to love this. There are two Mennonite women, a rancher gal who's one of my best friends, and she'll say, Holly, I'm going to be late. I'm rounding up the cows. I'm like, who says that in D.C.? I got to brand the calves, and then I'll be there. And then a gal who is from Brazil, and so she prays in Portuguese. There's a dear Catholic friend, and she prays in tongues. And I just have this sweet, amazing group of women. There's seven of us who just pray heaven down on our town, heaven down on our country, revival for the world. Just these, like y'all, this like-minded spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, just come. So I thought about how great our lesson is. And of course, even though I agree with Betsy, I do the Bible on my phone, but when I'm out, I always try to take it so people can see it. So I looked up our words and I thought about our very first sentence in our lesson today. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he has suffered in his body, is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now, some of you know, and everyone here, everyone listening and everyone who'll be listening, has been hurt. You've been hurt physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And when you're in pain, if you're like me, even though I'm an extreme shy person, like you know, even though I'm an extreme extrovert, when I'm in pain, I withdraw. When I'm in pain, I just go, you know, want to lick my wounds and go and give them to the Jesus. So as some of you know, I broke my shoulder in February. I was visiting dear friends in Naples, Florida, and Port Royal, and they have a beautiful house. And every morning I would get up before sunrise, take pictures of sunrise and whatever fish were around, where dolphins were coming into this area. And so I went running down and had on flip-flops. Don't ever do this. I had on flip-flops, so I slid hard to the right, fell hard to the left, and broke my shoulder in three places. It is so painful. I can't even tell you how painful. I just thought, oh my gosh. And of course, I'm hoping and praying that maybe it's just dislocated. But no, it was broken. I had to fly back and get it repaired. And I just thought, okay, Lord, people all over the world are in pain for different reasons. So I'm just going to offer my pain to you and pray for those others that are in pain. And I thought, how interesting that to arm ourselves. And I looked up several definitions and different commentaries and Bible dictionaries, but let's look at this. To arm yourself is to equip yourself for battle, to be prepared for a conflict, to intentionally take weapons to fight a battle. Okay, what was my battle? My battle was not to just go down in a downward spiral of self-pity or just, you know, woe is me. My battle was, okay, Lord, make this count. Make this count for your glory. And what do you want to teach me during this time of convalescent, this time when I can't literally couldn't get on my clothes without help? So at any rate, I thought about, okay, what is a battle? A lengthy and difficult conflict or struggle, a fight between light and darkness, or between good and evil. And then what did I think about us? Who are we? God's army, or followers of Jesus, to accept the calling of God, to put on the full armor of God, and to fight the good fight against the enemy. And we join forces, we who are God's army, we join forces with others to fight the good fight. Now, it's interesting because Oswald Chambers reminds us that part of what some of us do is prayer. And if you remember Desert Storm, the planes went over first, which made it wonderful for the army because the planes had already gone over and dropped their bombs. And when we're praying, it's never wasted. Our prayers are part of this heavenly battle that's going on. We are equipping the saints in ways you do not know and that I do not know, that we never labor in vain when we labor in our prayers. Our prayers are so huge. And as Oswald Chambers reminds us, think not that prayer is part of the work. Prayer is the work. So our time on our knees, standing, praying, whatever that looks like, that we are in God's army. Now, y'all are going to love this. In Colorado Springs, of course, is the big Air Force Academy. So I was in Colorado Springs, gosh, like maybe this was a year ago, and I'm in the little gift shop because I'm buying patriotic things to send to the kids and the grandkids. And so when I go up to pay, the cashier says, ma'am, which arm of the service are you in? Are you in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force? And I went, because then you get a discount. So I said, I am in God's army. And he said, well, that doesn't count till later. I said, no, I'm in God's army and I'm in active service. So there you have it. Active service, all of us. Active service. And some of us are doing the ammunition. We're loading the guns. Our prayers are the ammunition. But it's very interesting. With my broken shoulder, my cow girlfriend, she has about 600 head of cows here. And she has horses and does trail rides. And she said, Holly, you know, shoulders are so important. When horses are misbehaving, you have to lean on their shoulder to get them to go where you want them to go. And so I thought, well, Lord, are you leaning on my shoulder to get me to go where you want me to go? I want to listen. I want to listen to your voice. I don't want to miss whatever it is that you have for me during this time. Mm-hmm. So as some of you know who have broken your shoulders, you have to sleep in an Easy Boy recliner because you can't find any comfortable position. And so that meant a lot of restless nights, but that was just another time to pray and to lift up our country, our families, our friends to the Lord. But, you know, when you think about being dressed for battle, all of you know well, putting on the full armor of God. But what struck me this time, the helmet of salvation, when you're depressed or sad or in pain, the helmet of salvation is to protect your mind and your imagination that will say, woe is me, or I've never done anything good, or just all this downward spiral. And the helmet of salvation says, no. It protects my head. The truth is I am a child of God. The truth is Jesus' blood is enough for all my sin. The truth is I have a home in heaven that no one can take away. And so you have to protect your mind, bring every thought captive to Christ, and make it obey his words. And so I had to constantly go when I was just in this downward spiral, Lord, what do you have for me? Help me to know and experience. And I would just put my hands up and I want to receive your love, your care, and your mercies. Now, I'm going to tell you four things that help me that are in our lesson to protect my mind and heart in Christ Jesus. You know, we have the breastplate of righteousness. I have no righteousness, but I have the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that just the best? And when you look around and you see people even walking down the street, you think, okay, Lord, you know that person. You know their hurts. You aren't confused by the outward appearance like we can get, but you look at the heart. So you're looking at big hearts. You're looking for hearts that want to love you and serve you. So show us what that looks like and dress all of us in your armor. But the first thing I had to remember, which was so sweet, is God's presence. Number one, P, God's presence. If you're going to arm yourself for battle, it doesn't matter if you're married widowed, single, or divorced, God's presence is such a gift. And he says, you're never alone. For lo, I'm with you always, always, morning, noon, and night, broken shoulder, not broken shoulder. I'm with you morning, noon, and night. God's presence gives us courage in the battle. God's presence. So then I thought, okay, this was not my plan. I did not plan. Please do not ever plan to break your shoulder. And I just thought, okay, Lord, this isn't my plan. But what do I know about you? I know that you have plans for all of us. All of us, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our nation, our children, our grandchildren. And I think, okay, Lord, what's the first prerequisite is that I know you. Remember, isn't it interesting when those people came to Jesus and they said, oh, Lord, we've cast out demons in your names and we've done this and we've done that. And he said, I never knew you. Mm. You did dramatic things, but I never knew you. To know is to be intimately acquainted with. To be intimately acquainted with someone means you have to spend time with them. So God's presence, but the Lord has a plan. And his plan is that we would know him and have a relationship with him. And so a relationship means you spend time together. And don't you love it? I can't even remember. I think it was somebody at the Georgetown study said, you know, the Lord does not take dictation. Like, okay, Holly, what are your prayer requests for the day? No, Lord, what do you want today? You're King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I humbly bow before you. But as a child, I learned that God's a father to the fatherless. And as y'all remember, even in college, I'd run across to the chapel to show God my grades because my dad had died when I was 18. So God is so tender, but his words are true. His presence, and he has a plan. My plan, I have plans for you. Plans that are good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, sometimes we think, Lord, right now, we definitely need a future. We're all tired of being quarantined. So we want to hope in you and the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I think that's one thing that pain and heartache robs us of our hope and trust in a benevolent Father who loves us so much. He sent Jesus to die for us. So we have his presence. We have his plan. And we have his promises. Oh, my goodness. You know, you could just go through jillions and jillions of his promises, but unless you take them as your own, put them in your helmet of salvation so you're thinking of them and you're carrying them in your heart, you have the belt of truth. All these other great books will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. So spending time in his word, times on my knees. But I kept thinking, Lord, you promised to supply all my needs. And just today, I just need to know of your love and your grace and your mercy, your healing power. And then because I had a lot of time, because I couldn't do hardly anything, I had lots of times to pray, more prayers than I've ever prayed because I had time. And I found myself not looking at the news, not watching any TV. But if I heard of something, whether it be the fires or political unrest or whatever happening, I would just give it to the Lord. Make your sorrows count. Make your worries count because they all mean the Lord already knows. Like, why would I lie to God? Lord, you know I'm having a hard day. And said, like, I'm going to just muscle it and make it happy anyway. No, Lord, you already know I'm having a hard day. So I give my heart to you and I ask you to fill me with your spirit and show me your way because you promised to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. You promised to never leave me or forsake me. And then, okay, we've got his presence is with us. We know he has a plan. We know he has promises that we can hold on to. We know that he has power, that all power in heaven and earth belongs to our Lord. So when we see those incredible sunsets or sunrises or the leaves turning colors, isn't that just amazing? We can just stop and say, God, look what you've done. Look what you're continuing to do. I don't have to worry because you are all masterful, all great, all powerful, and forgive me when I forget how great you are. And I do. I forget. Lord, I need your help this very moment. And isn't it interesting? He said in our lesson in 1 Peter 4 that to be careful because the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. But above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, that we should all share whatever gift we have. And look at, I mean, when I look at your faces, I think of the amazing gifts that we could even be on this technology. But all of our gifts are supposed to be used. Okay, I hate to admit this, but it is true. Okay, see this? This is a little thing that says love is patient, love is kind, love is not. So I was printing these up like a month ago from our Posse Bible study. And so Jerry's going, Holly, I said, stop it. I'm just trying to print something on the printer. So I was not being very loving. I'm printing up love for all my ladies. What is it? So now, because I am so impatient, I needed this on my refrigerator. Because how often do we go to the refrigerator? Lots. So to get our coffee, to get our cream, to get whatever else. But the very first thing. It doesn't matter what amazing things you and I are doing. If we have not love, it profits us nothing. If everybody just today went to their bank account and took out all their money and gave it to the Sisters of Charity or gave it to Young Life or Navigators or their church or whatever they did that was benevolent to help people know Jesus, it would profit you nothing unless you love. Unless you have love. Isn't that amazing? You can give your body to be burned, but if you have not love it. So I just thought, Lord, please, please just fill me with your love, the love of Christ for these people that are so different from me. Their backgrounds are very different from mine, but I don't want to miss what you're going to teach me from my Mennonite friends, from my friend from Brazil, from these rancher women who deal with horses and cows all day are amazing. But wherever you are, wherever I am, whatever season of life, the Lord has something new to teach you. And if you're set in your ways, you'll miss it. If you're not armed for the battle, because the enemy wants to grab your mind, your attention, your heart, your emotions. If you're not equipped for the battle, you're going to miss it. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss what the Lord has for me at this season of life. I'm a mere child of 68, and I don't want to miss what God has for me, whether there's new lessons in a broken shoulder or new lessons in new people that come this way, new lessons as my friends and family are changing or experiencing good things or bad things. But that's part of being equipped for the battle, because the battle is to think about yourself. And what's the great enemy of the Lord? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If I'm full of pride, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss what God has for me, and that's not only going to hurt me, it's going to hurt my whole family. It's going to hurt my whole arena of influence. But if I'm humble and always being taught by the Lord and by his word and by his people, then I'm going to be blessed. And our obedience to Christ always blesses our whole arena of influence and everyone around us. So sharing those gifts that God has given us is so vital and so important. I thought too about, as we were reading in our lesson, that he said, above all, put love. And so I thought, okay, I have the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth, and I have my feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Isn't it interesting? He shared so many times to pray for him that he would fearlessly share the good news, fearlessly. So I thought, okay, Lord, courage. There's a sharp gal who's lived here for quite a bit, and she'll have these little parties, rhinestone cowgirls, and she has jeans with rhinestones on them and, you know, all this kind of fun bling and great Southwest art. And I went to an event at her house a year ago, and we just hit it off, and she's just a hoot, and I would say maybe in her mid-70s, and so at any rate, I've just kind of had a heart for her. So whenever I would see her, I'd pray for her. And then I wouldn't see her for months. And then I'd run into her. So we invited a bunch of people for the 4th of July. And she came. But I could tell, you know, I just figured, I don't know where her heart is, Lord, but you know where her heart is. And you're giving us this little bit of a friendship. You're going to love this. So I thought, okay, we're having these outdoor chapels. I just need to invite her and her husband to come. Now, how can I do it, which isn't preachy or isn't pushy. Lord, give me the right words. So I went by her house because she had thankfully left her casserole dish at my house after the 4th of July. And there were all these different things going on. So we didn't see each other literally for months. So I take the casserole dish over. And let's just say her name is Sally. So I go, Sally, thanks so much. Your casserole was great. How's your summer? We chat. And the Lord gave me just the right words. And I said, have y'all found a church or a place to worship since you've been here in Westcliff? And she said, no. And I said, well, how long have you been here? And she said, well, almost six years. I said, well, I said, Sally, I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey, but I know wherever you are in that journey, you will be so encouraged and inspired if you come up to our Tanglewood Chapel this Sunday. He said, huh. See, no threat, just an inquisitive thought. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but I know if you come to Tanglewood Chapel, you will be encouraged and inspired. Not only did she come, she came and her husband came. And she was blown away. And we have a cover dish lunch afterwards. And she stayed for the lunch. Her husband went off hiking, but she said, you know what, Holly, this is just amazing. So I'm just saying, you never know. All around us, the Lord himself said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So part of arming ourselves for this battle is winning more people to be on the army of God. We're in active service to be part of that army of God that he has, that we would make a difference and that there'll be more people in heaven because God gave us courage and creativity to share our faith. Don't we love it too when he says in verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed with his glory when it is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and God rest on you. Now listen, that's just one of the really hard ones for me. When somebody just insults us or mocks us, and there's a couple of times that just stand out so prevalent in my mind, and some of you might remember this because I've shared it before. But when we first moved to Washington, and of course, as y'all know, we were there 32 years and did ministry, Bible studies, prayer breakfasts, all these different things, worked with every administration to help people know and love Jesus. And this one man who was older than we just decided that he was either jealous or angry, but he just cussed out my husband. He's claimed to be a Christian, but he just had it in for Jerry for reasons that no one really knows, but it was so awful. And as you know, when somebody attacks anybody in your family, you are more angry than they are. You are more furious. I was ready. Let's go, honey. Let's go. We'll get our pastor and the deacons and we'll just go have our words with him. I mean, And Jerry, my godly husband, decided that this was a wonderful time to put 1 Peter 4 into practice that we might see God's glory and might see his joy. And also that goes right along with Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you, happy are you when people insult you, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, a prophet, obviously, is someone who tells the truth about the Lord. But nonetheless, as the mature Holly Leachman that I am, I said, honey, let's not take that verse. Let's just do that for another time. This is what we have to go to war on. This is not one time to claim that verse. But no, he was steadfast. And I thought, how amazing that great is your reward in heaven. Gosh, I cannot tell you how hard that was for me. I was probably, I don't know, in my late 30s, early 40s at the time. And I was armed to get even. I was not armed to trust the Lord in this one. So you will love what happened. What happened was, at the time I was helping hostess at a place called the Cedars, and this gentleman would often come there from time to time. And I had constantly battled in my heart and my mind how to handle this. And Lord, help me forgive him. Just help me forgive him. He put him on your, you're the judge. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. Who knows his own wounds? I don't know. I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. Well, I'm in the kitchen and I look down out the window and here this man comes. And we'll just call him Sam. And so Sam's coming up the driveway to go, oh, my Lord, Sam is coming to this place. So literally, I thought about Corrie Ten Boom shaking the hands of, you know, the guards. I got on my knees in that kitchen and said, oh, Lord, I'm at your mercy. You know how hard it is for me to forgive this man. Please give me your grace. And I'm not kidding. When I got off my knees and I stood back up and watched him coming closer to the front door that I would have to open and greet, and he had another gentleman with him, I was free. I'm not kidding. It was so transforming that I literally have, there's not one inch of bitterness. And I retell this story because of God's amazing power, his plan, his promises, his grace. So they come to the door and I go, oh, Sam, how nice to see you. His face just dropped. He was so shocked to see me because he hadn't dealt with the Lord on this issue. So, but he'd seen the peace. And that's what part of 1 Peter said too. Let your peace be a sign of destruction for them. Mm-hmm. And who knows, his journey took him out of Washington, D.C. And but God taught me a strong lesson. Like, Holly, what I've said is true. Yes, you are to count it joy when people insult you. Because great is your reward in heaven, because it means you're trusting me. You're not looking into man's ways to take care of yourself. You're trusting me. Here in the valley, as I've, you know, asking everybody on the planet to come to our Posse Bible study. We have about 42 women. It's just amazing what God's doing. And we have it in a multi-purpose room at a church. So we can put double tables so we can still distance, you know, but people get to be together and see faces. So those who wear a mask, and those who don't want to, that's there. But we don't have any live COVID cases in our whole county right now. So praise the Lord. But it's interesting because what the Lord wants us to know, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you hear that name, the name of Jesus. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and it begins with us. What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the Lord? So then those who have suffered according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. God's grace just abounds all through this lesson, but it was a great reminder and a wonderful lesson for me to don't delay, be intentional, put on the full armor of God, arm yourself, be ready for the battle. There is a battle, it's all around us, but we don't have to be disheartened because God has the victory. He's a great God and a great King above all gods. So Lord, bless these amazing women. And I pray that you would help all of us in God's army, to be faithful, to take up the weapons and the gifts you've given us. And Lord, that we many would be drawn to Christ because of the love of Christ flowing out of us. So Lord Jesus, thank you for this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Oh, thank you, Holly. That was beautiful.
Great to see you, Janet. Y'all have great small groups. I'm off to my posse. Love you.
Love you.
Bye, Holly.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was great. Okay, everybody. I hope everybody can hear me. We have one announcement, and Heather is going to give the announcement. And let me just say that it's an invitation for us all to come out to her house, her country house in Virginia, and she needs an RSVP like immediately. So Heather's going to speak, and then I'm going to put on the screen her email address so you can respond. So Heather?
Hi.